Goedemorgen.
De Christelijke Titel is helemaal in kerstsfeer en dat zijn wij hier ook. En moet je je voorstellen, zometeen gaan ze in de Christelijke Titel zingen op deze prachtige zondagmorgen. Komt alles tezamen, jubelend van vreugde. En weet je wat nou zo mooi is? Dat lied wordt over de hele wereld gehoord. In China, in Latijns-Amerika, in Indonesië, in Afrika en hier in Nederland. En dat maakt het zo mooi dat de Christelijke Titel wereldwijd uitzendt. En dat wij daar ook onderdeel van mogen zijn. En zo ook weer met elkaar verbonden zijn in die prachtige boodschap van kerst dat Jezus van ons houdt. Nou, en daarover gaat het natuurlijk ook in deze uitzending. Roger Williams, die prachtige pianist, speelt op zijn piano. Er wordt veel gezongen in de Christelijke Titel. Iemand met een aangrijpend levensverhaal vertelt wat haar bezighoudt. En Dominee Schuller over onze opdracht, visie en missie. En Hans Groeneveld van Compassion Nederland, die kinderen wereldwijd opvangen, had er net al over onze wereldwijde opdracht, vertelt over de kerstconcerten en wat we daar willen doen voor kinderen die niets hebben. Geweldig dat je kijkt. Welkom bij Hour of Power. En wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
And all God's people said, wow, this is a beautiful day to be able to feel the presence of God here in this place. And so the Spirit of God is going to flow through you right now. As you allow that wonderful love of God to flow through you, you're going to reach your hand out and shake somebody's hand and say, God loves you and I do too. So do it right now. Shake hands with those standing around you and share God's love and allow the Spirit of God to flow through you right now. Well, we have a wonderful Christmas celebration planned for you today. We have the most beautiful spirit to share with you today. Her name is Maria Fury. She's a cancer survivor. She is sharing how God's miracles are surpassing medicine's limits. And exciting to have you here, Maria. We have Glory of Christmas soloist Daniela Dolly, who will be bringing just a wonderful, wonderful gift of music today. We also have the critically acclaimed, the award-winning vocalist David Phelps, who's going to be sharing his Christ-centered faith through song. We have Sean Groombridge in the Hazel Wright organ. We have Don Newman in the Crystal Cathedral Choir. And we have Mark Riley and the Hour of Power Orchestra. And so, this is the day that God has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Dear God, we thank you that you're a God who comes and touches hearts and minds with your goodness and your peace. And so we give to you, O Lord, the challenges and the struggles that we find ourselves with today. We come here, O Lord, to feel your peace, to feel the touch of your hand. And so in this hour, fill every fiber of our being with your love, so that when we leave this place today, we will be empowered to share your good news and shout it from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is born. Thank you, God. Amen. Seated. The scripture lesson is from the Old Testament, the prophecy that there would be a Messiah coming to earth. Listen to these words. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light will shine. You, O Lord, have increased our joy. We rejoice before you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's the joyous message of Christmas.
Walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver. Did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary,
speak the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child your
My guest this morning is somebody very, very special. If you call my office, there are two girls outdoors that served me so well. And right outside my office door is Maria Fury. She's worked for us for 7 years. Pardon me, but I really love that lady. Only 7 months ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. Life-threatening, normally very fast-growing. But her faith in Jesus is beautiful. And through the power of prayer, she keeps working. Takes today off when she goes in for chemotherapy. And come, Maria, tell us what's going on. You won't find a greater woman of faith living on planet Earth today than Maria Fury. Well, first of all, what kind of cancer do you have?
It's pancreatic cancer. It's a rather difficult I can't say it.
That's all right. I can't either. But
and it's gone not only to my pancreas, but it's metastasized and gone to my liver.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Now, how did you first find out that you had cancer?
Well, one day I was at work, and I all of a sudden started having this excruciating pain in my back, my lower back. By the next morning, it was uncontrollable, so my dear sweet husband, Dan, took me to the hospital. At that point, they ran some tests on me, and that's when they found out that there was a spot showing up. And then after a biopsy, it was proven that I had cancer. And we were hoping that it would stay in the one area, but cancer has its own brain. And so it metastasized, which sets it into stage four. But
how many stages are there?
Four. But that's cancer stage four. That's not my cancer stage. My cancer is to live, to survive.
Said that to work for me. You are such a wonderful person. When you go through chemotherapy, you wanted to share that.
Oh, yes, I would. For so many people out there that are afraid of it, I remember the first day I was going to have chemotherapy, and I called our care ministry department and talked to Donna Grimm, and I was crying, and I said, I'm getting this foreign stuff in me, and please, I need prayer. And she said, Maria, just consider it Jesus going through your body. He will go into your heart, and he will go out throughout your system. And I listened to her, and she said this lovely prayer, and that's exactly what I did. That day, the nurse administered the IV. I accepted Jesus into me. And I had this calming effect that I still have to this day. It's his presence.
Peace.
Peace.
You really experience peace.
Peace beyond... I should be scared, like normal people. Everybody should, you know, when they're told this. But I have this feeling of God in my body, and I welcome him each time.
Somebody told me the other day, going into chemotherapy, you were so peaceful you fell asleep. That
I do. I fall asleep after I feel Jesus' presence in me. And 3 hours I sleep with the blanket over my head. And I wake up and I'm go home. It's over.
and back to work. You usually skip one day or 2 days. It's about all.
That's it. Yes. After a change of chemotherapy, yet medicine, yes.
And I come to work, get off of my floor, and there you are at the desk right by my door, and you twinkle, you smile, and laugh just like this. Applaud her. She's fantastic. She wants a glass of water. Oh, here is one. Fresh underneath.
Please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you are.
Oh, I'm taking yours.
No, I never use it. I'm a dry preacher. I thought I'd say that before she did. How's it good? Tastes good?
Wonderful. Thank you. I needed that.
She has read through all of my published writings, which is over 30 books. And I have a huge volume, 3-ring note binder, where all of the illustrations and anecdotes and important parts of those books are cataloged. I think you're probably the only person that's read through all of them word for word.
Yes, well,
and you survived.
No, it's because of your books, your wisdom, your positive messages, and working here that has made me survive. With Jesus' help, I am able to endure whatever test that God has once put me through, and it's because of Crystal Cathedral. If I wasn't here, if you weren't here, I don't know what would be happening to me, but I know this is the where I need to be. You're in my heart. The church is in my heart. God is in my heart. Not in that order, God, please. But I'm very happy.
Give me a kiss. Thank you. I want everybody to reach out your hand and touch her as I pray. Oh, God, this is a great soul. Wow. Everybody loves Maria. And, Lord, by normal standards, she should have been gone a few months ago, but here she is, standing, twinkling, sparkling, praying, laughing. Let healing forces continue so that she will live longer than anybody expected, and put her head to the pillow every night and remember some special miracle that happened that day. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Schumer.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria.
prachtige Joy to the World. Vreugde aan de wereld, want Christus is geboren. En hij kwam juist voor het zwakke, voor de mensen die de have-nots. Daarvoor werd hij ook in een stal geboren. En juist met kerst, nee, ik zeg het verkeerd. Altijd moeten we over deze mensen nadenken. 50.000 kinderen sterven per dag door gebrek aan voeding, medicijnen of water. En dan is er een organisatie als Compassion die wereldwijd geweldig werk doet. Honderdduizenden kansloze kinderen oppakt. En we hebben gezegd, als Hour of Power gaan we tijdens de concerten, als we denken dat Christus gekomen is, juist voor de zwakken, gaan we iets doen. We gaan een heel dorp in Kenia helpen. Honderden kinderen. Daar zijn we super trots op. En Hans Groeneveld is hier, Hans. Goedemorgen. En jij bent een van de bestuursleden van Compassion. Wat is Compassion precies?
Compassion is een organisatie die kinderen die leven in armoede, om die in Jezus' naam te bevrijden van armoede en ze weer een kans op leven te geven.
Hoeveel kinderen steunt Compassion eigenlijk wereldwijd?
Compassion wereldwijd ondersteunt op dit moment 800.000 kinderen. En als je in het veld ziet wat dat voor elk kind individueel betekent, dat is indrukwekkend. Dat
en hoe is één kind?
Een van onze kinderen bijvoorbeeld die we hebben uit Ecuador, die mochten wij ook bezoeken. We zijn ook thuis geweest bij het kind. En dan zie je dat de paar euro's, de 25 euro die je per maand aan zo'n kind besteedt, besteed wordt aan opvoeding, aan voedsel, aan leermiddelen. En vooral als je dan thuis bij het kind kijkt, dan zie je de verandering. Omdat dat ene kind, die krijgt ondersteuning. De rest van de familie, die heeft dus meer geld te besteden, wat er al bijna niet is. Dus je ziet dat het hele gezin er beter van wordt. Er komen in één keer bedden, de kinderen slapen vaak op de grond. Ja, het is niet te beschrijven wat die paar euro's doen in het leven van een kind.
Nou, zijn er nog wat organisaties wereldwijd die zich bezighouden met adoptie van kinderen in derde wereldlanden. Foster Parents Plan is een paar jaar geleden zeer in opspraak geweest, omdat één kind door meerdere sponsors werd geadopteerd. En dat klopte niet. Hoe is dat bij Compassion? Is het zeker dat elk kind echt ook een adoptieouder heeft?
De organisatie Compassion die heeft maar één doel voor ogen, en dat is om kinderen te helpen. De organisatie is natuurlijk zwaar gecontroleerd. Het CBF onder andere in Nederland die is daar heel scherp en alert op. Maar wij hebben gewoon gezien dat in de organisatie iedereen die een kind heeft, die kan het kind ook zelf gaan bezoeken. Die kan zien dat het geld op de plek komt. Er is communicatie met kinderen, er wordt geschreven, wederzijds. Kinderen schrijven terug naar de sponsorouders, om maar zo te zeggen. De sponsorouders schrijven terug, er is een communicatie. Je weet dat het geld bij jouw kind komt. Jouw kind wordt er beter van. Ja, het mooiste is om zo'n kind een keer te bezoeken. En wij kennen Compassion als organisatie daarin als bijzonder betrouwbaar en totaal transparant in wat ze doen.
Hoe was het om in Ecuador te zijn?
Ja, heel bijzonder. Ja. Je zegt wel eens, alle kinderen rond de wereld zijn gelijk. Nou, dat is dus niet zo, want kinderen in Nederland die leven in zo'n rijkdom, in zo'n luxe. Als je in zo'n gebied komt waar een kind eigenlijk kansarm is, al niet eens eten heeft voor de dag. Als je kindjes van 4 jaar ziet, die 's morgens 4 uur opstaan om matten te vlechten, dat is geen toekomst. En als je dan ziet wat dat beetje geld je ook doet. Ik ben er geweest en toen hadden collega's waar we mee waren, die zeiden, hier zou je toch wel willen blijven? Ik zei, nou, ik niet. Ik zou terug willen, want daar kan ik ze helpen. Ik kan hier vertellen wat we kunnen doen specifiek voor die kinderen. En dat is heel indrukwekkend geweest.
Je bent bestuurslid van Compassion. Wat hoopt Compassion dat wij als Hour of Power zullen bereiken tijdens de kerstconcerten?
Ja, wij hopen natuurlijk dat we meer kinderen dan de 100 die we als doel gesteld hebben met elkaar, dat we die mogen bereiken. Want elk kind.
Ga ik jou eens wat vertellen. Dat wordt er veel meer.
Dat geloof ik ook.
Ja, ja, ja.
Want ik denk dat als we met elkaar het hart zien van wat we. Ook wat God bedoeld heeft, hè, dat we oog moeten hebben voor de kleinste onder ons. Als we dan zien wat dat een effect heeft in praktijk. Ja, ja dan moet je je schamen dat je maar één kindje ondersteunt. Wij ondersteunen een paar kinderen. En ja, je zou voor veel meer kinderen iets willen betekenen. Dus ik hoop ook echt dat op de tour die gaat plaatsvinden, dat we daar ook heel veel mensen mogen aanspreken. Ook op hun verantwoordelijkheid om iets te mogen betekenen voor kinderen die in ernstige armoede leven.
Hans, hartelijk dank. Dank je wel voor deze warme aanbeveling. En voordat wij teruggaan naar de Crystal Cathedral, leuk dat we ook dingen voor anderen kunnen doen. Net als Hans ben ik ook in dat land geweest en ik heb het zelf met eigen ogen ook gezien. Kinderen die absoluut geen kans hebben en dan door zo'n bijdrage weer helemaal op de been komen. En dat is ontroerend. Nou, ik zou aan u willen vragen, kom naar de concerten. U kunt straks daar een kaart invullen. En we hopen dat echt heel veel kinderen in juist Kenia, waar het ook zo dramatisch is, geholpen kunnen worden. Nog even over die kerstconcerten, die beginnen morgen. Wordt een drukke week voor ons allemaal, want morgen beginnen we in de Laurenskerk in Rotterdam. Dan gaan we naar de Meervaart in Amsterdam. Vervolgens door naar Eindhoven, Drachten. En dan tenslotte vrijdagavond in Apeldoorn. En vind het leuk om zo door het hele land te toeren met, ik heb het al vaak genoemd, Daniel Rodriguez, ons eigen koor. Groot orkest, we gaan samen liederen zingen. Angelique, kent van Idols, die komt zingen. Het wordt een feest. Er zijn nog een paar kaarten. Want er zijn altijd weer mensen die helaas door ziekte of door andere zaken verhinderd zijn. Dus bel nog even met Hour of Power. Dan zullen we zorgen dat de kaarten klaar liggen. Neem die kans te baat. Nou, wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. En daar is het ook al helemaal in kerstsfeer.
Zijn, dat wil iedereen toch? Het is een behoefte van alle tijden en plaatsen. Jezus sprak er al over in zijn bergreden en gaf ons aan de hand van de zogenaamde zaligsprekingen een handleiding voor het leven. Hij weet dat we het niet altijd makkelijk hebben en laat ons zien waar we het geluk kunnen vinden. Het zijn deze woorden, de zaligsprekingen, waar dominee Schuller een boek over schreef. Het geheim achter geluk. In 8 hoofdstukken legt hij uit hoe we de aanwijzingen van Jezus in ons hart kunnen verankeren. Hij behandelt iedere zaligspreking afzonderlijk en laat zien wat deze woorden kunnen betekenen als we ze toepassen in ons dagelijks leven. Bent u gelukkig? Als u deze vraag inspirerend of juist confronterend vindt, is dit een boek voor u. Wij sturen u het geheim achter geluk toe als u nu donateur wordt van Hour of Power. Als donateur maakt u deze uitzendingen mogelijk en neemt u actief deel aan de verkondiging van het evangelie. En daar is dringend behoefte aan. Met een maandelijkse bijdrage maakt u het mogelijk dat de uitzendingen op televisie te zien blijven. Aanmelden kan u direct op onze website www.hourofpower.nl of vraag een donateurskaart aan via ons kantoor 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank voor uw steun.
I have a scripture to read this morning. It comes from Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah is called by God in the 6th chapter. And here's what he says. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was seated on a throne, high and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. With 2 wings, they covered their feet. And with 2, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man with unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. And my eyes now have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me." And the Lord said, "Go." Powerful scripture of the calling of an individual to a mission, to a purpose and to a calling. And whenever somebody is called by God for a reason, the first time that you come into the presence of God and you feel the presence of God, we are introduced to our sin, to our guilt, to our failures, to our inadequacies, to the inability to be the thing that God has called us to be. For Isaiah, it was unclean lips. For some reason, I don't think that means he had a foul tongue. I think it was more than that. I think foul tongues are overrated. I think foul tongues are to get human attention, and God pays attention to the heart. And the foul tongue is just an outward cropping of the heart. It's uncouth. It's not classy. It isn't cool. It's just for people who don't have enough sense to and enough ability to hold the tongue, and they just say whatever they think at the moment. That's foul language. You know, I've had some weird experiences with foul language. I went golfing with a friend of mine. He invited me to golf with him. Jack Tarr, actually. He took me out to Talega Golf Course. The two of us went there, and we were paired up with 2 other guys we'd never met before. Yeah, you get the picture. They didn't know who I was. Jack didn't tell them. So we're out there golfing, and every single time he swings his club, every foul word in the book comes flowing out of his mouth. Even when he got a good shot, he didn't hit it close enough. It didn't go in the hole. If it did go in the hole, he swore until it got in. It was miserable. We were like that for 9 holes, 2 hours of this. Finally, and we make the turn. My friend Jack kind of pulls him aside and says, "Do you know who you're golfing with?" All of a sudden, you see this guy get kind of white, kind of sheepish, you know? Oh man, he didn't know what to say. And I'm so sorry. And what was interesting is from that point on, he didn't say another swear word. It was amazing. It was the most incredible thing. His entire attitude changed. He went from the most negative, having a miserable time, to all of a sudden every shot was fine. Oh, no big deal. It was absolutely the most amazing transformation that took place in his life I'd ever seen. I just thank God that I have such an effect on people. But the truth is, I don't think that's what Isaiah is referring to when he says that I have unclean lips. I think he's referring to something far deeper, something that has far more depth to it, something that is far more damaging than a foul word. And that is a foul thought. Things that we all say and society doesn't condemn us for it. The unencouraging word. The discouraging word, the words that breed fear, the words that breed bitterness, the words that tear people down instead of build them up, and those are the lips that we all have from time to time. When our feelings of inadequacy, when our feelings of not being good enough or not being adequate enough start to rise to the surface, one of the ways for us to feel better about ourselves is just to try and tear people down. It's the old crabs in the basket thought. I've been told that if you have a bunch of crabs, all you need is to put 2 crabs in a basket. You don't have to have a lid on it as long as there are 2 crabs in there. As soon as one starts to climb out, the other one will grab him and pull him back down. And no crabs will ever get out as long as there's more than one in the basket. But as soon as you get down to the last one, you better put the lid on, because they're going to get out. I think our human species is a lot like that. We see somebody starting to break out of the mold. They're all getting out of the basket here. They're getting too high. They're getting too successful. Let's pull them down. Who do you think you are? What are you doing thinking such lofty thoughts? Who calls you? Who gifted you? And we pull them down. And for that, we need to come before God and ask for forgiveness. We need to ask Him to give us that atoning fire on our lips, to help us use our lips to be encouragers of all we meet, to share the words that God wants us to share, to give people hope, to spread love, to give cheer and good news. Because that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. The word gospel means good news. And we have been called by God to give good news. And today, I want you to ask God to forgive you for every discouraging word that has ever left your lips. Because the sad reality is you cannot take it back. All you can do is ask God to
forgive you. Today I want you to pray with me and let us ask that prayer right now. Dear God, forgive me for the foul words that have left these lips, the words of discouragement, the words that have bred fear, the words that have belittled people. And give me, Lord, a vision that will allow me to share your words of faith and hope and love, and allow my heart to be a reflection of all I say today. Thank you, Lord, for giving me peace and joy and goodness today. I love you, Lord. Amen. Now, part two. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. And God is calling every single one of us and giving all of us a mission to go out and to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to proclaim this good news. Here's the good news. Isaiah says this, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And we will call him Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. This very moment, God is here. He's in this place. He's calling every single one of you for a purpose and for a reason and giving you a mission to share the good news that we can encourage people and we can give people hope and we give people faith and we can lift people up. And when we lift people up, guess what happens? They escape the doldrums of life. They get out of the basket and they take us with them. And life becomes full of goodness and joy and health and prosperity. Whew. From forgiveness to mission, Lord, send me, use me as your instrument today to spread your good news. But there's that little tiny space and time where you have been called by God for a mission, a purpose. And in that tiny space of time, he says, okay, you know what you're doing. You've been trained. I've given you all these experiences in your life. Take over. Do what you've been called to do. And when you've lived your life, and you've given people encouragement, and you've given people hope, and you've shared the good news of Jesus Christ, and you've declared it from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is born, God's called you for a purpose and for a reason. And it begins by coming before God and confessing our sins and receiving and erasing the guilt, and then saying, okay, Lord, send me. I am yours, Lord. I'll do it. And today you're being called. And the calling that you have is to be an encourager, to be an uplifter, to be a positive influence, to share from your lips the good news that Jesus Christ is born. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you just continue to flood our souls with the reality of your goodness and your grace, that as we continue to look upon the reality of who you are and how you come into this world and how you come to heal, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be used by you. And so guide us, Lord, to that place where we can truly be the person that you have called us to be, and give us the faith to always realize that you are in process of blessing us at every moment, and help us to be nothing but encouragers and positive people, sharing positive words of faith and hope and love. For unto us is born a child. It is good news. And for that, we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We love you, Lord. Amen.
He was the kind of man that good men talk about. The way he showed his faith was how he lived it out. His hands were rough and calloused, and his shoes were old and torn. And the lines that framed his smile were lines so well and deep and warm. What will be remembered of what he left behind? What will stand the test of time? How to love your neighbor, how to love your wife. Wrap your arms around your children and pray with them each night. Thank God for all the good things, 'cause the good things are enough. The ties that bind and leave behind a legacy of love. He worked a second job to make the ends all meet. Yeah. But somehow managed to always be there for me. He taught me how to listen, how to stand for what is right, and showed me all the things that really matter in this life. How to love your neighbor, how to love your wife. Wrap your arms around your children and pray with them. The good things are enough. The ties that bind and leave behind a legacy of love. Oh, and as I look into the eyes of my daughters and my sons, I hope I've stood for something that they'll want to carry on. 'Cause life is far too short not to finally realize, oh, that it's long enough to make a difference in someone's life. So I'm gonna love my neighbor, and I'm gonna love my wife. Wrap my arms around my children and pray with them each night. Thank God for all the good things, 'cause the good things are enough. The ties that bind and leave behind a legacy of love. Oh, the ties that bind and leave behind a legacy.
And so now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. And you're lying down and you're rising up and you're laboring and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Was het weer een geweldige uitzending, mensen. Wat hebben we genoten van die muziek, van toespraken, van de oproep van dominee Schuller, dat God een visie met ons heeft en dat we die visie over mogen nemen en door mogen geven aan anderen. Nou, dat gaan we ook morgen doen als onze kerstconcerten beginnen. Dat wordt geweldig. De boodschap van kerst staat daar centraal in muziek en een heleboel andere dingen. En ik denk dat het geweldig genieten wordt. En wij verheugen ons heel erg op de ontmoeting met zoveel trouwe kijkers van Hour of Power die we dan persoonlijk kunnen ontmoeten. Ben u of ben jij er niet bij? Kijk op onze website. Er zijn nog enkele kaarten. www.hourofpower.nl. Hele fijne zondag. En graag tot in de aanstaande dagen of de volgende uitzending van Hour of Power. En dat is volgende week zondag. Dezelfde tijd, dezelfde golflengte.